Solomon is dismissed. No power can be had unless God has ordained it to be so. Now listen. God ordains a lot of things he doesn't bless. He allows the wicked to rule. I mean, obviously, Stalin wasn't a blessed guy, or Hitler wasn't a blessed guy, but he allows these to unfold, which reflects the wickedness of man. And we see that in the book of Revelation all the way through, right? We see that in the book of Revelation where a lot of evil things are happening. And the evil we see now with the gathering of power, tyrannical Marxism taking hold in the United States, globalism, control, we see that God is allowing this happen as we head towards globalism because there's an end times. You know, as one person told me, said, well, I don't want to be part of that. Well, it's going to happen what? When it happens, right? It's going to happen when it happens. And it, by the way, if we are part of towards wrapping up the end times, we are also part of the final witness before the rapture. And that's important. That's an important position to hold. And so we need to do that. I'm going to end with an illustration before we have our discussion. Long time ago, you know, we were holding an IFCA meeting here. And there was a Christian man named Morose, who was a professor in Maryland. And he was running for Congress. So we decided to allow him to come and speak to us, you know, during the meeting. And he said that he had a nomination wrapped up because everyone who shook his hand says, I'm going to vote for you. Pretty naive, right? Oh, I'm a favor. I'm going to vote for you. Says, okay. And so he had a rally over to Riverdale Baptist. They put 1,000 chairs out, and the only ones that show up was other candidates who are running. We had 980-some empty chairs. And his campaign manager says, you know, I knew 1,000 people come up because we said it's going to happen. And the Republicans didn't want this guy running. In other words, he was more too conservative for him. They ran what was that guy's name? It wasn't the Haven, but it was something like that. Anyway, ran him. He's the one who ran the nomination. Of course, ran against Hoyer. Hoyer just mopped the floor up with him. But he thought because people shook his hand and said, what? I'm going to vote for you, that he had the votes he needed. People would tell you anything. And that's what I told Adonijah, right? We're right behind you. Until all of a sudden, Solomon's anointed to be king. We're really behind you now. We're out of here. And so we have to be careful. Things aren't always what they seem, and what some people say isn't necessarily true. So here we have the throne being set. Adonijah not only is not going to be on the throne, but later on Solomon does have him killed, and so we move forward into history here. And Adonijah is only remembered by this passage, right? That's the last we hear of Adonijah, basically except when he's put to death by Solomon. Let's have a word of prayer and have a discussion on this passage. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for giving us clarity of the history here and some of the principles we could learn as far as going through official channels, looking for your blessing, Lord, and being able to seek your face in all things, for it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Continue our study in the 10 o'clock service in the book of 1 Kings that we began. One of the things that we need to keep in mind, I think a key aspect when we take a look at the political world is Daniel 2:21, where Daniel was telling Nebuchadnezzar, It's God who raises up kings and brings them down. So nothing happens in this world without God giving his permission for it to happen, even the rise of dictators, even the rise of tyrannical Marxism and these type of things that we're seeing in our day, in our age. And you can see, I don't want to get into off into a political angle here. However, we are in D.C. And so Thomas Jefferson made the statement that when the government is afraid of the citizens, there's freedom. But when citizens are afraid of government, there's tyranny. And the reason why this last week, this man who was trying to organize a truck protest come down in Pennsylvania couldn't do it is because his fellow trucker said, "We're afraid we'll get arrested like they did up in Ottawa." And so you begin to see this clamping down, this fear. We saw through the COVID pandemic, stuff like that. And so, but God allows that. Daniel 2:21 says, God is the one that raises up kings and brings them down. And the reason why that's a important aspect in our story, remember in last week's exciting episode, that Adonijah made himself king, right? He put himself on the throne, and then Bathsheba and Nathan came in and said to David, who was on his deathbed, and says, did you appoint Adonijah to be king? Didn't you say Solomon was going to be king after you? And so we pick up the story here in verse 28 of chapter 1 in a fairly lengthy section of what happens here. 1 Kings 1:28, and says, then King David answered and said, call Bathsheba to me. And so she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king took an oath and said, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from every distress, just as I swore to you by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon, your son, shall be king after me. He shall sit on my throne in my place. So certainly I will do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and paid homage to the king and said, let my lord King David live forever. Which, by the way, I find kind of interesting since he's about ready to die, right? So, but this is kind of what the greetings have. And said, King David said, call to me Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. So they came before the king, and the king said to them, take with you the servants of your Lord and have Solomon, my son, ride on my own mule and take him down to Gihon. Now there let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel and blow the horn and say, long live King Solomon. And then you shall come after him and he shall come and sit on my throne and he shall be king in my place, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah. And Benaiah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, amen. May the Lord God of my Lord, the king, say so too. And as the Lord has been with my Lord the king, even so may he be with Solomon and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites and the Pelethites, went down and had Solomon ride on the king's mule, King David's mule, and took him to Gihon. Then Zadok the priest took a horn of oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the horn, and all the people said, long live King Solomon. And all the people went up after him, and the people played in the flutes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth seemed to split with their sound. Now Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the horn, he said, "Why is the city in such a noisy uproar?" While he was still speaking, there came Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest. And Adonijah said to him, "Come in, for you are a prominent man, and bring good news." Then Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, "No, our Lord King David has made Solomon king. The king has sent with him Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and they have made him ride upon the king's mule." So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon, and they have gone up from there rejoicing, so that the city is in an uproar. This is the noise that you have heard. Also, Solomon sits on the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servants have gone to bless our Lord King David, saying, "May God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and may he make his throne greater than your throne." Then the king bowed himself on the bed. Also, the king said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has given one to sit on my throne this day while my eyes see it." So the guests who were with Adonijah were afraid, and they rose, and each one went his own way. Now, Jonah was afraid of Solomon, so he arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, "Indeed, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon. For look, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, 'Let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword.'" And Solomon said, "If he proves himself to be a worthy man, no, not one hair of him shall fall to the earth. But if wickedness is found in him, he shall die." So King Solomon sent them to bring him down from the altar. And he came and fell down before King Solomon. Solomon said to him, "Go to your house." Intrigue. Move aside Games of Thrones, right? All right, so here you have this uproar. This is an amazing turn of events, as I'm going to explain. After listening to Bathsheba and after listening to Nathan, David calls Bathsheba to the room. And David swears that Solomon will indeed sit on the throne after him. And then God apparently affirms this choice by allowing this transition to happen and by a statement that, that God loved King Solomon. David instructs Nathan. Now, these are the power brokers in the kingdom. Nathan the prophet, Zadok the high priest, and Benaiah, and is the captain of the guard, to anoint Solomon immediately to be king. Now, this is very unusual because usually kings ascend after the old king dies. You usually have a crown prince, right? I mean, they don't here. David's appointing this. It's not normal. It's not the first son born that's going to get the throne. Like in England, you have a crown prince, right? I doubt if Prince Charles will ever get to the throne. I mean, Elizabeth isn't going anywhere, right? And so he's just, how old is she now? What's she turned, 95? Yeah, she just turned 95. I mean, good genes, right? So just tremendous. And so, but God affirms his choice. So he instructs him, said, so Solomon takes the throne before David dies. This is unusual to transfer power before the old king dies. But he does this. Now, we've talked about a lot of David's missteps. This step probably saved another civil war. David makes a choice. This step probably saved a civil war because David makes it very clear this is the man that's going to sit on the throne. So instead of waiting till after he dies and then Adonijah's forces are fighting Solomon's forces and all that, he settles this before. This is part of putting your house in order. You know, this is what I want to happen after me. And so David probably saves another civil war like the civil war we had with Absalom. So this is a very wise move that he's done. Now, David orders Solomon to be placed on the king's mule, which is a symbol of his authority, and ceremonially be taken to Gihon spring to be anointed king. Now, most of us don't think mules as very stately animals, you know. But the king would ride a mule or a donkey if it's in peace. He'd ride his horse if it's in war. So David is going to have Solomon ascend to the throne in peace. And so you have some symbolism here. The sacrifices are made, celebrations, the royal horn is blown. It's announced a transition. He takes all the Cherethites and the Pelethites out. They were the guards of the palace, so they're leading this big procession out. The horn's blown. Other people are coming around to see what's going on, and they see that Solomon is being anointed to be king. Now, let me take a little diversion here, talk about Gihon. Why Gihon? Gihon, the word means to gush forth. And when Gene and I were in Jerusalem back in 87, last millennium, you know, we were down there. Gihon actually gushes forth out of a cave. It's an underground spring. There's one that also gushes forth at in Gedi, you know, 25 miles from Hebron. And so it gushes forth. And so that was a major water supply in the Kidron Valley that goes to Jerusalem. Now, another 300 years later, King Hezekiah, because of the Syrian invasion, built a tunnel connecting Gihon to the Pool of Siloam, which we have in the New Testament. And so it was dug by hand through 1,600 feet of solid limestone. And so by hand, I mean, it's just, you know, just hand tools, you know. So it was dug through there. You know, you have the four stages of calcium carbonate. You have chalk, you press it more, you get limestone, you press it more, you get granite, you press it more, you get marble. So those are all the same chemical composition, and just how much pressure you put on, just like you have, you know, coal, when you press it hard enough, you get diamonds, you know. That's just a side trip. I was a chemistry major one time. Every now and then I have to use it. And so, anyway, we walked through the tunnel. We really did. It cost two shekels, but you had to walk through the tunnel. They told us to wear tennis shoes we'd throw away because the water was pretty rough. I said, well, that's great. We're going through knee-deep water, and by the time you get to Siloam, you're up to chest deep in this mucky water. And so we were waiting to go in, and it happens that day there must have been some sewers that overflowed, and so that added to, remember that? It added to the flavor of the whole thing. I mean, and we had a couple young female, remember the Army girls, they drafted like 16 years old, they're very young, and they're doing the hokey pokey in Hebrew, you know, which I thought was very interesting, you know, and so they could tell the hokey pokey because it's doing all the moves, right? Put your left foot and right foot in. And so, anyway, what do you do when you get into the tunnel? Well, the reverberation's great, so you sing hymns. So all the way through, we're singing hymns as we walk through this tunnel. Now, in Hezekiah, they had one group coming in from one side, the other group from the other side, and they missed each other by 3 feet. And so they could hear each other doing so. They turned it, and they connected the tunnel. It was just tremendous. And so, remember, we were halfway through. We made that little bend to go there. It has nothing to do with this story, but I just thought I'd tell it. Anyway, so this is Gihon. You know, this is a spring that gushes forth. And this we walked in, we came out the pool of Siloam, and that was a tremendous thing as we went through there. Now, much of Jerusalem turns over to celebration. It demonstrates two things, by the way. One, the weakness of Adonijah's claim, because these guys aren't going to fight for him, right? You say, oh, we're going to have a celebration, everything else, Adonijah's king, and as long as that was confirmed, it was fine. But they were not going to fight for this guy. And so what ends up happening is the fact that once Solomon's anointed king, all his support just sort of evaporates, goes away. And so here we have in the story that officially David says, this is a guy that's going to rule after me. By the way, there's something very, very important that we learn here from a principle, is when there's important decisions to make, we need to make clear what those decisions are, right? For example, one thing you're told to do is make sure you have an updated what? Will. Because you never know, right? You want to make sure it's clear what your wishes are, how your property is going to be distributed, things like that. So it's very, very clear what's going on. So David finally makes it clear, no, everybody needs to know Solomon's going to sit on the throne. And so he brings Solomon, he officially selects Solomon. The event occurs at the same time. Now, this is what I find amazing in this passage. Usually it takes a long time to organize things, to get things done. But they are able to get Solomon out there, Gihon, while Adonijah is still celebrating his ascent to the throne, which I find fantastic. We go, in this day, it would take, 3 weeks to get a permit to do this. But anyway, that's another issue. But here, immediately, they're just finishing eating, just finishing celebration. All of a sudden, they hear this great noise. And so what in the world is going on here? So he promptly made it move quickly, go out there, get Solomon on the mule, get him out there, anoint him, blow the royal horn, put him on the mule. And so we're going to avoid another Absalom-type disaster by making this clear. So on the same afternoon that Adonijah ascends to the throne, he's knocked off of it. So he declared himself king, and that lasted probably about 5 or 6 hours. And so, which is a very short reign, by the way. Because Adonijah had no official claim, right? David had not said, Adonijah, you're going to rule after me. Had no official sanction to do what he did. His only claim to the throne is the fact that he's next in line as the son of David. But he has not obviously talked to David, send the throne. So David finally settles this matter. And you can see he didn't have solid support. All these guys are gathering around, yay, Adonijah, when they hear that Solomon's king, they all run away. So they were not very solidly behind him. So here we have all this noise going on, and Joab's wondering, what in the world is all that noise and that tumult? Now, you might say, well, how close were they together? Well, Gihon is about 3 miles away from En-Rogel. It's where Adonijah was. So it's about 3 miles distance. So, from here down to the Aldies here, right? It's about that distance. So the sound was carrying, on and you can measure it to see if I'm right later on, okay? So you can measure it and come back and tell me if that's about 3 miles, okay? So they hear the tumult, they hear all this noise, the celebration. Here comes Jonathan. Jonathan's kind of a neat guy. This is a different Jonathan than Saul's Jonathan. He's always shows up being the runner. He's always the messenger. When they had the Absalom rebellion, he was the one that ran messages back and forth during that time. He's the one that's standing there when they hear the word that Absalom had killed Amnon, that the rumor came back that all the king's sons had been killed. And Jonathan's the one said, no, I see the other king's sons coming back. He's on the alert. He's on the watch. He's the messenger guy. He said, no, don't let the king think all the sons were killed. Just Amnon was killed. Now he shows up as a messenger, and Adonijah says, oh, he's a good guy, so it must be good news. And Adonijah said, no, it's just true news. The true news, it's not good news for you. It's just true news. Solomon has been anointed king. And not only has Solomon been anointed king at Gihon, he's sitting on David's actual throne, which kind of makes it pretty official. So he said, no, not good news for you. So he comes back, and he's going to sit on the throne. Adonijah did not have any official sanction. Joab, at this time, chose the wrong side, which he's going to pay. And so it informs Adonijah that Solomon now rules, and Adonijah is absolutely terrorized. And so what happens is the fact that he says, okay, I'm afraid I'm going to be killed because now I've done this, and I'm going to be seen as a usurper, and my support has all fled away, and he was a king of convenience at the time. And so he comes away. So he flees to the tabernacle. Supposedly that's a what? A sanctuary, right? So you're not supposed to do violence in the tabernacle. And he runs and he grabs the horn of the altar where they make the sacrifices. By the way, that doesn't work for Joab either. Later on, Joab is killed at the altar, you know. And so he grabs home and says, I'm not leaving here until Solomon promises that he's not going to kill me. And Solomon, which I think was a wise decision, said, listen, I'm not going to harm him as long as he behaves himself, you know, as long as he proves to be a worthy man. Later on, he's going to be killed because he asked for, goes to, not a good idea, goes through the king's mother to get to Solomon to ask for Abishag to be his wife, you know. And so he flees, sanctuary fears Solomon. Solomon is told, Adonijah's afraid, Solomon, which by the confirms Solomon's power, in that he has the people around him to support him, he said, listen, if he behaves himself, he'll live. If he proves to be a wicked man, he'll die. So he sends for Adonijah. Adonijah basically swears allegiance to Solomon.